Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
So Adam Levy and Lauren Schirrero are an amazing couple, and they are amazing people, and they are the leaders of the Nora Project. If you're looking for a nonprofit to contribute to this holiday season, I always enjoy when I'm hosting and have an opportunity to bring some positivity to the airwaves, and these two are doing tremendous work with their daughter, Nora, and the Nora Project. Lauren, Adam, happy Thanksgiving. Thank you for making a minute for me. Appreciate it.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you for having us. And actually, Adam is running downstairs. We're having a small childcare issue, but he'll be right back.
These things happen. That's the world of parenting, right, Lauren?
It is these days, yes.
So for those who are listening right now and don't know about the Nora Project, can you give me how the Nora Project came to be and your very prominent role within the Nora Project? Let's start there.
Sure. So the Nora Project obviously was inspired by our daughter, Nora, who at 9 months old had some complications during a surgery that left her with pretty significant brain damage and disabilities. And, you know, in the aftermath of that surgery, I realized how little I knew about disability and, frankly, how terrified I was of it. And it occurred to me that, like, this was just something that wasn't being talked about and that we needed to change that. So fast forward, Nora's 6 years old. We now have this organization called the Nora Project that provides curriculum to schools that teaches about disability and helps kids with disabilities and without disabilities get to know one another and become friends. Because I think, I'm sure you feel this way too, Karen, like the friendships you have as a kid really inform your beliefs as an adult. And so we really feel like it's important to put friendship at the center of this work. And so that's where we're at.
It's a huge thing. Cause like, I look back at myself as a kid, Lauren, like, you want to be the popular kid, right? And you want everybody to like you. And so therefore, like, well, what's the easiest way to do that? Well, I'm cooler than you, and I can pick on you, and then maybe people will think that I'm funny, and they'll like me. And then you end up, if you're that kid, and unfortunately I can relate to that kid a little bit too much, then you end up just not feeling good about yourself, and you're not you're missing so much. And I think like what you guys are doing and just bringing out that, hey, this is super important that, by the way, we're not all that different at all, and you're building, I think, up self-esteem on both kids like that are in your, you know, that are similar to Nora, and, you know, the quote unquote regular kids too. I just think it's so important on both sides, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And, you know, you touched on a lot of things that are really important to the work. Kids with disabilities are many, many multiple times more likely to be bullied than their non-disabled peers. And so that's a huge problem. But the other thing is that when kids develop identities as includers and as friends, it's good for everyone. I mean, we hear all the time from teachers about, you know, the cool kids or the bullies who really shine in the project and find their value in learning about how to be an includer and why we're all more alike than different. So all those things you said, yes, I agree. And also Adam is back, so...
Babies are doing okay.
Hi, Adam. Thank you for being a parent and a radio guest. I appreciate it.
Oh my God, we love being on your show.
It's always my pleasure to have you guys. So, and like what you just talked about there, Lauren, about like the bully and like it's and all over your guys' website, you know, is the word empathy, and it feels weird to say it, but it's like you have to on some level. It's important to have empathy for the bully too, because that's a kid that's like trying to get understood in some weird way and just hasn't gotten the proper parenting or teacher attention or something has been missing. So you're scooping up everybody here, which I just think is huge.
Mark, I want Lauren to share with us in the audience a story from a CPS teacher about her classroom and their experience with kids' behavior resulting from the work in the Nora Project.
Please do, Lauren. Go ahead.
Okay. Thanks, Adam, for
that. Well, you know, she knows this stuff infinitely better than I do and speaks much more clearly. So,
you know, one of the things that we track, like you said, it's all over the website, but we track student empathy outcomes. So we're testing students' like empathy IQs, essentially. We test them at the beginning of the year, in the middle of the year, at the end of the year. And what we find is that scores go up, but they go up mostly in boys, which is cool because I think boys tend to be the bullies, right? And so what happened in the CPS school was really remarkable. The boys' scores, like, shot up. They actually got almost to as high as the girls' scores, which never happens. And what happened in that particular classroom was throughout the entire school year last year, it was the only classroom in the entire building that had no bullying referrals.
Wow.
And I think it is, it's like you said, it is a way of being, bullying is a cry for help. I mean, it's a very damaging cry for help to the victim, but everybody is suffering. And I think by building our empathy skills, we're not only being kinder to others, but we're being kinder to ourselves, right? Like, we're not beating ourselves up so that we then have to put that on other people. And so seeing the empathy scores go up so dramatically in that classroom, and then hearing that it was the only room in the entire building. It's a K-8 building on the west side in a tough neighborhood. There were kids in the classroom experiencing homelessness. I mean, really tough things. And not a single bullying referral the whole year. It was pretty special.
The website is thenoraproject.ngo. And just along those lines of just positive stories and not hearing any bullying, you've got like three... You got three messages on the front page of the website. What does it mean to be a good friend? Why is there no such thing as normal? Why do we hang on a second as my computer
share our stories?
Yeah, why do we share why do we share our stories with others? What does the Nora Project teach about what does it mean to be a good friend? Let's start there.
Sure. So we let kids answer that question for themselves. And all of our students actually write a friendship mission statement at the beginning of the year about the kind of friend they want to be. And I can share some examples for you, but a lot of our students say being a good listener, not being judgmental, being there when a friend needs you, standing up for someone, appreciating someone's differences, valuing what makes them unique. So kids come up with all kinds of things. They have intuition about this. And of course, we're giving them, you know, books and lessons to think it through and grow their mission plans throughout the year, their mission statements rather. But they really end up creating identities for themselves as friends and the kind of friend they want to be. And then we see that play out in their relationships, which is great.
I love it. And it's like to make that the quote unquote cool thing in the classroom, like, hey, what does it mean to be a good friend? And then kids are kind of orienting to being a good friend at whatever, second grade, fourth grade, sixth grade. It's such a shift. What are the answers to why is there no such thing as normal?
This is the best question. And it's one that we have really sort of restructured our curriculum around over the years. But, you know, I think, you know, and it really honestly couldn't be more timely given where we're at from like a social justice perspective. But like, what is normal in terms of anything? What is normal in terms of race, religion, sexual orientation, gender, ability? I mean, the bottom line is we all do things differently and are different. There are many ways to be. There are many ways to do things. The way we are and the way we do things affects our perspectives and our ideas. And all of these things are different, right? And they're just sort of a consequence of some things that we have control over and many things that we don't. And the idea that there's a standard in any of these is just off. And so we really encourage our students to say, you know, what's normal for you? What's normal for you? And even though you guys might think you have a lot in common, even, you know, just the little things like how you get ready for school during the day or what your routine is on the weekend. I mean, these things are different, but they're your personal normal. But that doesn't make them better than anyone else's normal. You know, we talk specifically about disability and say there's a lot of ways to be a person. There are a lot of ways to breathe. Some people need medical equipment to support that. There are a lot of ways to get around. Some people get around on their feet. Some people use a walker or wheels. or, you know, have other ways of getting around. There's all kinds of ways to do it. We all essentially do the same basic things as people, but there's no normal. There's just how you do it.
And I would just like to underline that your husband, who is on the call with you right now, Lauren, he comes from a family of completely abnormal people.
100%.
Who are all awesome, incredible people. And, like, the point is that, like, whatever. It's sweet to not be quote-unquote normal is what I'm trying to tee up here. And Adam's probably actually the most normal of the family. Would that be a fair statement, Adam? Would you
agree? That
is for sure not true.
Very, very dependent on the audience. You know, that's the gift of having an Israeli father, Mark.
I talked to your dad fairly recently, and he is 100% not normal and incredibly cool. God bless Hezzy Levy.
It's good we can confirm that after all these years.
Yeah, well, he's a great man, always been great to me specifically. But at any rate, I want to ask the last question. Why do we share our stories with others? What do kids come up with on that one?
This is so critical. We share our stories with others for so many reasons. And the two sort of big answers that come up from our kids are, first, so that we can be understood, because a lot of times people make assumptions about who we are, and if we don't share our stories, we're not necessarily sharing our truths, but also so that we can reach out and help others, right? So we want to know each other's stories so that we can be good friends. And so this is huge. I mean, we all experience the world differently, and we have to share those experiences in order to come together and figure out what it is we have in common and how we can help one another.
And again, the website, if you just want to check it out, thenoraproject.ngo. And, you know, I just want to rewind back. So as far as just understanding what's going on here, you've got kids with disabilities who are in classrooms with quote-unquote regular kids, too? Or is it more just that they're in a special classroom within the same school? What is the normal process of the kids that you guys are starting with here?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the way that it works right now is that students are brought together to do the project. So many of our schools already have inclusive classrooms where there are kids with and without disabilities. And the truth of the matter is, you know, every classroom anywhere in the world has kids with and without disabilities. Disability is super broad. But so, you know, in those schools, the kids just do the project together. In schools where kids are in separate rooms, for whatever reason, they're brought together for the purposes of the project. So all the kids do all of the learning together. And the way our curriculum is written, we have differentiated levels. So if there are kids with learning disabilities or intellectual disabilities, we have, you know, different versions of the lesson plans that have visual supports or, audio files, whatever it is that our students need in order to access the curriculum. So everyone learns together in whatever sort of format the school requires.
Love what you guys are... Yeah, go ahead, Em.
Sorry, one of the things that sort of jumps up in my mind when talking about how our students learn is, like, how is that relevant to this moment right now where our students are not connecting in physical classrooms more often than not?
Yeah,
and the Nora Project in March and April completely revamped their programming to make it accessible online to everyone, regardless of whether or not the classroom is going to be in person or not. Not knowing what the outcomes would be, you know, how well the teachers would be able to engage their students on this project, among all the other things that were required of our teachers. And what we've always heard from the Nora Project classrooms and the feedback is this is like the one place that students love to work and participate, and they get really into it and they're very self-directed. And I think one of the things that sticks out to me is that remains truer now than ever with these virtual classroom models. And kids still report, students still report, and teachers still report that the Nora Project is if not their favorite activity among the things they love to do.
Yeah, and just thinking about being a kid right now, doing classes on Zoom all day long and trying to actually pay attention and which was hard enough for me personally in the classroom, let alone being on Zoom. I mean, come on.
I second that.
Right? I mean, if you're somebody that loves to run around and you dream about recess all day, and now you're sitting at home in front of a computer screen, you've got so much distraction around you, it's just got to be an incredible challenge. And then,
as a parent, I can't do it.
Right.
I can't even help my kids through their school as a parent.
Dialing up the empathy of of all the challenges that are out there right now. Hey, guys, you're awesome. I appreciate you jumping on. Continued success to the Nora Project and what you're doing. It's super important. And again, the NoraProject.ngo. Lauren and Adam, love you guys. Thanks for being here. And
I love you, Mark. Thank you all.
Absolutely. All right, there they go. Lauren Schreiro and Adam Levy, the incredible parents of daughter Nora.